It's a joy to be with you again.
And with you as well. I do want to talk about your new weekday version of Let the Bible Speak every Monday through Friday at 7:15 p.m. here on WFIL. But first to what would then be the elephant in the room, the Great Declaration by radio speaker Harold Camping. Would you just take a second and tell us what Mr. Camping is claiming and how he justifies making that claim?
Mr. Camping is teaching that Jesus Christ is going to return on May the 21st, 2011, and then we'll go into a great tribulation period. Afterwards, there will be the end of the world on October the 21st, 2011. This is his grand scheme that he's been working on now for a good while, and he feels that the church age actually ended in 1988, and that the church was given over to Satan, and then the great and last harvest began in 1994. That harvest is being harvested by those outside the church, which is his organization and those like it. And then Christ will return on May the 21st to rapture his people and throw the rest of the world into a great tribulation.
So that is this coming Saturday at 6 p.m., and I wonder why he chose that time. And I thought, well, maybe because that's the end of the Shabbat, Sabbath day. And then I stopped and thought, well, wait a minute. In Israel, Shabbat ends, what, 6-7 hours earlier than it does on the East Coast. So I'm all confused. But you might remember how much I resisted talking about this. I really felt uncomfortable. I have no desire to take on or discredit anybody who proclaims the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, most especially a fellow Christian broadcaster. Of course, there are many reasons to do so. But in this particular case, I wanted to wait and make sure. Well, last time we spoke, this notion that he had was mostly only for his radio audience and those of us in the Christian community, and we kind of looked at it and said, oh, okay, here he goes again. But now, with the billboards we've seen around town, the national interviews, the whole nation is aware of Mr. Camping's claim, so now we have to respond, really. I mean, this is not the first time he's made an Armageddon claim.
No, it's not, and he is pulling out all the stops, and his people are taking their money and using it to get billboards up and signs up. I've talked to people in Mexico City, talked to people in Toronto, Ontario, so it's not just even limited to our country. They're seeing signs and billboards going up. And the people themselves who are following Camping are selling homes. They feel the end is near, so why hang on to your money? And they're using that money then to get Mr. Camping's message out.
Goodness gracious. Well, Scripture clearly tells us that no one, not even Jesus, knows when he'll return, correct?
That is correct. He then will try to deflect that statement in Mark's Gospel, Mark 13. But when you look at Matthew 24, verse 36, he very clearly says, our Lord clearly says, no man knows the day nor the hour. Well, Mr. Camping is still a man, as far as I can tell, and so he does not know the day or hour either.
Yes, and I guess the simplest and most pertinent example we can offer is the traditional Jewish wedding ceremony and betrothal from the first century. At that time, after the bride price was agreed upon and the cup of wine was shared, the young man would leave and go to his father's house to prepare a place for himself and his bride-to-be. And no one, not the young man, only the father of the young man knew when that process had been completed and it's time for the young man to go and get his bride. In like fashion, Jesus will come to get us, the bride of Christ, when his father says it is time to go.
And when you look at his arguments, the tracts that are being put out, they're very bizarre. If I could just for a moment point up one of the tracts that they say teaches his infallible proof. He's going back to Genesis chapter 6 where Noah was said to go into the ark and then in 7 days it would begin raining and then there would be 40 days of raining. He says those 7 days are symbolic and that you're supposed to put 1,000 year for each day and that 1,000 years from the that time period brings you right up to May the 21st, 2011. And there's nothing in Scripture that tells you you're to substitute 1,000 years for those 7 days, so you'd have 7,000 years. But more than that, even in the very sentence that he is quoting and referring to, it talks about 40 days of reigning, 40 days and 40 nights. If that were the case, then that would be 40,000 years of tribulation following the 7 days wait. The whole thing that he is saying is ludicrous, and yet they're boldly proclaiming that the Bible teaches May the 21st is the date.
Well, you know what I've been thinking about the past couple of days? Indeed, no man knows the day or hour, only the Father. But, you know, Jesus could end up coming Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
I guess that's something that Harold or anyone else could not discern. But, boy, you, of course, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We can't wait for your return. But, indeed, I'm hoping that maybe 6:01.
Yeah, something just a little bit off from his date. I can say this, that if our Lord comes on May the 21st at 6 o'clock, Harold didn't figure it out, he guessed.
Okay.
And we do want the Lord to come, and he will come. And this is part of the real problem. It discredits the whole message of the church in the world's eyes, because they think this is what the Bible teaches. Harold Camping's date is what the Bible teaches. And then when it doesn't come to pass, they say, oh, Christ isn't coming. But in fact, he is coming, and he has clearly warned that we do not know the day and the hour, so we must be ready for his coming at any time.
Yeah, amen. I listened to a talk show host on a different station.
Yeah.
Well, on that station, one of the hosts said in a promo, he's going to be talking today about how prominent Christian broadcasters from across the country are proclaiming that Saturday will be the day. So now we have been all lumped in with this one person's proclamation of what the Bible says about the date of Jesus' return.
Well, it's kind of bizarre to try to get inside his mind and figure out why he has connected dots the way that he has in his prophetic teachings. But he has this impression that the whole world has been given over to an apostasy, so that every church is wrong. Therefore, because the church is dead, there are no elders in the church. If there are no elders in the church, then the sacraments cannot be done properly. The Lord's table, baptism, and those things must be stopped. If you believe that, then much of your whole New Testament has just been thrown out the window. Things that are dealing with church government, things that are dealing with elders, things that are dealing with the Lord's table and baptism, all those things that are in the epistles, you can really jettison and get rid of. You don't need 1 Timothy telling you about the elders and deacons, or Titus telling you what the standards and qualifications are for an elder. And so he is really becoming more and more bizarre. When he predicted Christ would come in 1994, he did not have all of this other trapping to his prediction. But as we have said, the prediction now is an error, but it's not the greatest of his errors. I think the greatest error that he is teaching is this whole idea that the church is dead, and that there are no elders in the church, and that we're to stop the Lord's table and baptism.
And did he not say we can no longer be saved?
Yes. Well, he does believe that you can go home, cry out to God for mercy, and perhaps God would show you mercy. He's not defined what that is, but he would not allow, coming from his own lips, an invitation to people to believe on Christ.
Hmm.
How he squares that with Paul speaking to the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. How do you square that with what Paul said to the Philippian jailer? He didn't say, go home, cry out to God for mercy. He said, come. The Spirit was working in the Philippian jailer's heart. That was evident to Paul. And so Paul invited him to come to Christ. And you see that in the book of the Acts. You see that also in our Lord's ministry, especially in John's Gospel, where command after command is given to repent and to believe. God is commanding all men everywhere to repent, Paul said. Well, that presupposes God's going to do a work in the heart. But having said that, Paul did not send men home to cry out to God for mercy. He sent men to Christ to seek Christ for salvation. And yet Mr. Camping will not do that. So you have people who feel trapped right now. And this is a sad thing, but they feel trapped. Here comes Christ in the tribulation. I can't do anything to be saved. Therefore, I'm going to go through the tribulation. And there has actually been people who've harmed themselves because they're fearful that they are going through the tribulation.
Hmm.
When we actually look in the Scripture at the return of Christ, while it is an awesome day and a fearful day, there will be judgment coming when Christ comes. And yet the Scripture admonishes us to repent and believe on Christ, to prepare ourselves for that day. Quite a different reaction than what the teaching of Mr. Camping is having in the hearts of people.
Yes, indeed. Well, your program is again every weeknight, including tonight at 7:15. It's called Let the Bible Speak. Then listen in Sunday afternoons as well at 1 o'clock here on WFIL. Can we speak next Monday for a couple of minutes?
Oh, I think that would be great.
I think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Dr. Allison, thanks for joining us on the program.
Okay, it's been my pleasure.